What the fuck is up? This is JP, and I am the Dissident in Chief, and this is the Dissident in Chief podcast. Tonight, we have got a real motherfucker here tonight, and you're not gonna want to fucking miss this shit. He is the founder of the Not a Real Libertarian podcast network. He is the co-host of the flagship Not a Real Libertarian, the host of a Not a Real News broadcast. He is the founder and five-star general of the Bootleg Battalion, yeeting pedos from the East Coast to the West Coast where they fucking belong. Bootleg Libertarian, what the fuck is up, bro?
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. So when things get bad and the shooting starts, there will be cards we will be selling very soon for the Bootleg Battalion. Shameless plug. Absolutely no shame in my game while I grab another beer here. But yeah, we're going to be eating pedos and politicians and all the things in between coast to coast.
What are you drinking on over there? Fucking like Bud Light or some bullshit? No, you're Bootleg. You got to be drinking some like Steel Reserve. I'm drinking Jameson. What you got over there?
Got some Budweiser, king of the beers.
And then you're, oh, and then I'm going to fucking reveal a secret. I know you got some fucking banana rum because you're a bitch. I knew it.
No, yeah. So I'm poor and this was the only booze left in the house. I drank up all the rest of it. So my wife's banana rum will have to do tonight.
I mean, fuck, we got some fucking liquor. We got some booze. Oh, Lord. Let's fucking go. So here's a question I would always have for you, Bootleg. As somebody who does a live podcast with us, I would say we're brothers in arms when it comes to how cringe our content is and how fucking unpopular we are. Like, what has been your experience the last couple of months that you've been running this shit?
So we actually recently hit 1,000 plays on Anchor as of today. We've been trending up in a lot of the metrics, but there is a market for just being super brash and super aggressive with your messaging. And I don't even want to say brash or aggressive, but the Thursday night show was the show that I started with. And then a few months in, I brought Will on. And then we've grown from there with four shows a week. It's about having a good time, about having fun, because I'm involved in a lot of stuff with the LP outside of the podcast. There's all these other events that I do. And Thursday night is my night to just have a good time, because it's that the important thing is not having burnout. And you know, getting drunk and talking shit on the internet is a pretty good way to blow off some steam.
I mean, fuck, when you have like we have fucking young Will going to college over there fucking as your co-host, it should be really fucking easy because you have someone to make fun of the entire time and you don't have to just shit on Jack Casey all the time. You have fucking young Will too.
Well, to be fair, it's very easy to shit on a lot of things. Joe Biden. See, the great thing about politics in the United States now is that it's so stupid that there's never a lack of content to make fun of. It's like Tuesday night. Like I promised some of the ladies who work behind the scenes on the network that my Tuesday night show would be super serious. It's going to be a news broadcast, but I couldn't help myself. I covered the R. Kelly thing where he's going to be a whistleblower and like, you know, flip a dime on everyone.
Whose fucking whistle is like, R. Kelly blowing now? Fucking hell.
But I ended the show with a really fucked up joke and I couldn't help myself. And I said, if R. Kelly's lawyer had been a 16-year-old girl, we all know he'd have gone off. Got off. She'd have got him off. Guaranteed.
Oh my God. Fuck. Oh, or no.
My personal favorite joke is I think Matt Gaetz, or Gates, whatever the fuck you want to call him, should be the Secretary of Education, because nobody knows public high schools better than him.
Oh my God. Oh, that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh no. Well, we're not even fucking 5 minutes in and we're talking, making pedophile jokes. Fucking stay tuned. All right.
It's going to be a long hour for y'all.
Oh my God.
If y'all tuning in now, though, I mean, fuck. I mean, you already know what to expect. This is not his first rodeo. So.
No. It's definitely not your first fucking rodeo. Like, man, it's just, oh my God. I love fucking having fun, though, but Jesus. I need to drink more. Jesus Christ. Hang on.
You know who else likes having fun?
Don't say R. Kelly, goddammit. That's not fun, all right? I'm going to fucking moralize on that bullshit, all right?
No, I wasn't going to say R. Kelly. Nobody's peeing on him yet.
Fair enough.
But girls like to have fun with Matt Gaetz. Oh.
Well, I guess. I mean, Cyndi Lauper may not have been talking about like 16-year-olds with 30 guys, but you know.
Yeah. I highly doubt it, but you never know.
But apparently that fucking convention, there was like that fucking Daily Beast article. They're like, they do cocaine at events with Matt Gaetz at fundraiser parties. Oh,
wait till the LP starts getting major news publication and like they start filming like LP conventions and there's some weird dude in the back corner snorting a fucking line of coke. Like, what's going on here?
About like a group of 10 or 15 people fucking walk around with waving goddamn dildos. Like, they didn't even, C-SPAN didn't catch that shit. Oh, Lord. Oh, if you don't know, then, well, not going to tell you. Sorry. We're keeping that shit in the fucking in the case right there.
I love libertarians and I hate libertarians. It's the greatest love hate relationship on the planet. Nobody is worse for the LP than libertarians, which is ironic.
But simultaneously, there are people. But goddamn, some of them are fucking annoying. You ain't lying.
Yeah.
You know, all this fucking caucus warfare we got going on right now, which apparently you're a part of a caucus, but I don't know how to really describe redacted without like getting an FBI warrant, but maybe I'll let you describe that. Let you get the warrant. That's cool.
So I'm actually technically a part of two caucuses, one of which I don't directly do much of. I'm like an admin on the page, but I don't do shit because I'm lazy. I'm a part of the Libertarian Party Veterans Caucus, or as I like to refer it, caucass, because it's run by mostly Navy and Air Force vets. So caucass is appropriate.
Yes.
And then the Redacted Caucus, or the RCLP, or the Boogaloo Boys, or
Big Igloo, whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, the CNN boys, whatever you want to call us. We are, I guess we're non aggressors in the upcoming civil war. So we believe that no matter what, the government will try to fuck around and find out, but we want to do it through a means in which we vote our way out of this first and then shoot second. Me personally, I have given up on the idea that we can ever vote our way out of this bullshit. But you know what? I'll give it a chance. I'll let, you know, people continue to try and push for good legislation that will never pass, or by the time it passes, it's skull fucked into oblivion. But yeah,
good old Redacted Caucus, and yeah, I know apparently a lot more people in the caucus than I originally thought, because it kind of came up a little bit last year. At least it came to my attention. I'm sure it was going on for months and months before that. So it is interesting, though, that like it's people that you would not normally suspect of being like, because again, like it or love it, there's a fucking like Everyone, because everyone in the CAG caucus is pretty big fans of guns, like self-admittedly, and it's not always the people you would think it is. I mean, you're not, you're the least most likely, because if anyone's heard you talk for more than 5 minutes, they know that you're a veteran and you love your guns, possibly more than your wife and kids, but you definitely love your guns.
I'll put it this way. I was having a conversation with someone on Clubhouse the other day. If I knew that my wife, so if the house is on fire, I wholeheartedly expect my wife to grab the youngest kid. And then the oldest kid can walk on his own and follow commands because I yell at him so much. Those three will make it out of the house. The dog can go fuck himself. If he's not smart enough to follow us, that's his problem. Darwinism at its finest. I'm heading for the basement, or whatever the fuck I'll say it. I've already said it. But I'll grab the gun safes and drag them bitches out of the fucking house. And I know exactly how many steps I would have to drag that bitch to get it outside the house. I'm sure. Yeah, it'll rate high enough to where if the house burns, the safe and the or the guns inside will be fine. But that's not good enough for me. I'm taking them. Family photos, we can replace those. As long as everyone gets out, those guns, some of them I can't replace. I actually have a Lee Enfield Mark II that was used in a world war. That has it stamped on U.S. property or U.S. Army property. Those are there. You can replace them, but there will be a time where you can't replace them.
Yeah, because like once you get like too vintage of a gun, it starts becoming not made anymore, and then you're just replacing parts.
Pretty much. And sometimes this thing needs a lot of work.
Sometimes the parts aren't even made anymore once you go really, really far back.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm a firm believer that we need strong gun control. You should ban assault weapons, and we should ban the high capacity magazine.
Oh yeah, definitely. Someone who will drag his guns out of a fucking burning fire, expecting his wife to take care of the fucking kids. Definitely sports gun control. Yeah, that's it for sure. I mean, I've heard some fucking cognitive dissonance before, but my God. Also, I just fucking noticed you're wearing, did you wear this for this podcast? Because I live in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys shirt. I know you're a fan, but you didn't just accidentally wear that shit, did you?
I did. So I was looking for my gray hoodie to match my gray sweatpants because it's getting that time of the year where it's sun's gone, dick's out. Sweatpants season, boys.
Gray sweatpants season, because you know, yeah. Some bitches like that fucking, they like to see that fucking schlong outline or whatever the fuck they call it. I don't know. I'm not hip. I'm fucking 28. Like, they're just like
the dick print.
Yeah, I've heard. How do I not know that? Because I've heard it before, but I don't know. It's like, maybe I don't excess on dicks, so fair enough. So,
yeah. It's that time of the year. But no, I was looking for my other hoodie. And my wife, being the amazing person she is, she said, it smelled like sweaty armpits. I said, okay. She said, you're not going around smelling like sweaty armpits. I said, but I always smell like sweaty armpits. She said, the fuck you do? And I said, oh, well, okay. So I had to put this one on.
Well, that's a loving wife there.
Yeah. She takes good care of me. I'm like the third child in this house. I get drunk. I get drunk, stumble around, and mumble shit that no one understands.
And then you really like it when you get belly rubs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I go outside and scream at the moon. Fuck you, feds. Fuck you.
And then your fun and your wife comes out. Can you at least put pants on, please?
Fuck your pants, you authoritarian fuck.
I mean, it's like the libertarian dream of going out in your porch naked as the day you were born. Maybe you have a firearm with you, probably maybe not, but then you're yelling out at the fucking world, fuck the Fed, fuck the IRS, or pick a government agency. That's the dream right there, right? maybe over your farm field. Who knows?
Speaking of paint, have you seen that meme floating around? I shouldn't say it's a meme, but it's a photo floating around of this store that says, if you choose not to wear a mask, you can choose to not wear clothes. And then everyone's pretty much captioned it with, your terms are acceptable.
Yeah, everyone's like, your terms are acceptable. I'm down. Sounds good to me. Pretty much not the intended effect, which again proves the left can't meme.
They're like, who would dare walk into a store naked? Well, you put a fucking sign up. So, I mean, if you want to fuck around, you will absolutely find out. Yeah,
that's
out.
Your fucking fault. You just invited all of your customers that aren't fucking cucks to get naked. Probably some of you will get turned on because they like being dominated, but that's a different story. I'm telling you, though, like, speaking of domination, like, is it just me or do, like, more than half of the country have like a fucking domination kink? Like they want to be dominated by daddy. In this case, it's daddy government. And then apparently most of the women on Tinder that I'm sometimes keen to be on, they have the daddy kink. Like what the fuck is going on that everyone wants to be goddamn dominated?
So you want me to give you a good answer or you want me to give you a shitty answer?
Yes.
This is like Scrabble. You fill in your own answers, or what is it? Mad Lib. You fill in the answer. You tell me what you want. I'll give it to you.
Asspicks at disinteef.com. Wait, not disinteef.com. Disinteef on Twitter. Give me asspicks, titty pics. Come on, that's what I want. Wait, this is not Mad Libs. Fuck you. Go on. Sorry.
So
I'm drinking. In fuck reality, off.
So in reality, so the serious answer is most people don't want to make the hard decisions on their own. They're lazy, they're stupid, and they don't actually care about doing their own research on most things. So they would much rather have an authoritarian figure tell them what to do. It's easy when something bad happens, they can say, oh, well, that's not my fault. I did what so-and-so said. Well, the problem is that's not what a free individual does. A free individual does their own research. They do their own thing. And they make decisions for themselves, good, bad, or wrong. but you have to make that decision for yourself. Someone who makes a bad decision through their research on their own, I respect far more than someone who is just touting the government line or like the narrative that's being pushed by mainstream media. So it's like if someone had come up to me, so I'll use gun legislation, for example. That's the one thing that people call me an expert on that I don't really consider myself an expert. But when people say that we need common sense gun control, they don't mean common sense because it's not actually common sense. None of it makes a fucking bit of sense. The places you see the most gun control, you have a higher crime rate. Criminals aren't already inclined to follow laws. So why would you implement them laws? Them laws. There you go. That's a great meme right there.
Them laws, though. Literally.
Fuck them whole ass laws. I'm about
to say, like, how would one of your meme people fucking meme that? Them whole ass laws. Is it just like a constitution with a fat ass and it says like gun laws? I have a feeling that once a certain person, we know who it is, listens to this podcast, we ain't watching this shit because I got a fucking dirty apartment in the background and you're essentially naked. I've already seen your dick like 3 times. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I only shave half of my dick. It's like the left half gets shaved 1 month and then the right half gets shaved the other month. So it's like, it's weird. It's like this like weird tanning pattern. I
was going to say it's like fucking like fixing a golf course and make it like completely even on the field. You have the grass got to be completely even, but you got to shave half of it. And it's like a leveling process. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to aerate the front 9 1 week and then the back 9 the other week. And yeah, I actually play golf. So that's the thing I deal with. So,
oh fuck, you play golf. Oh fuck. Yeah. I'll do a little bit. Give me a golf story that isn't shitty because as you know, most golf stories are fucking shit because you're on the course with some old guy. He's like, I remember when I had a hole in one. Yeah. In 1945. I know grandpa, you've told this one 800 times.
So I'll actually tell you when I got started golfing. So it was 2020, and ammo became more scarce than a non-crazy female. So that should tell you how fucking scarce that shit was. And I was like, dude, I've got to have a hobby, because I was shooting 3 to 5 days a week at that point, because ammo was super cheap. It was super available. I was buying it by the fucking truckload. And I was like, I was sitting in my basement just having fucking convulsions. I was like, I got to get out of this house. I got to do something. I got to blow some steam. And my buddy was like, hey, why don't we go play golf? I was like, I ain't got no fucking clubs. So we worked out this whole thing, and I got some clubs. I got some like irons. I went and bought a cheap used driver.
Is that, man, that's a really bad way of calling your friend a cheap used driver. That's mean. And then he fucking.
I'm going to tell him that one. He'll love that. He's as much of a piece of shit as I am.
And I'm about to say, like, in having to talk about balls and cheap used drivers, ugh, sounds like a really bad prostitute in Miami, bro.
Yeah. Kamala Harris has already left Miami, so you can't call her that anymore.
Oh, yeah, she's back where she belongs, on her knees in D.C., blading fucking George Soros or whoever the fuck actually runs shit.
But, yeah, so we go to play golf the first time, and that's immediately I quit talking all the shit about golf because it's super hard.
Do shafts make you really long and hard? Anyway.
That's what she said. But yeah, it was a long day. We played. When I jump into something, I jump into it head first. It was a long 18 holes. I no longer call it golf. I call it whack fuck, because those are the two sounds you hear: whack and then fuck. Because it's usually ended up somewhere I can't get.
Oh yeah, this is 100% accurate. If you're not like fucking pro level, it's just whack fuck. You're right. And it is interesting because I haven't played golf in a while, even though Dallas is allegedly good for golf. I'm also not a multimillionaire, so it's not that great for golf when you're a povertarian like me. So, you know.
That's my new favorite phrase, povertarian. We have so many Tarians-isms, or whatever you want to call them. Creepertarian, povertarian, libertarian, fakertarian, not a real libertarian.
Easy plug.
Yeah. See how I did that? That's smooth, isn't it?
There's no plug for mine. So it's just kind of like, well, you're already here. I don't need to plug my own shit when you're already here listening. So.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, is you gotta find them smooth plugs. You gotta lube it up a little bit and right when nobody's looking.
Almost like you've done that before.
Shit happens. When the lights go out, shit happens.
I thought you said the wife goes out, and I'm like, oh, fuck no. Oh, no. Oh, I misheard that. Look,
when we get married, I mean, we've been married for 7 years. Actually, today is our anniversary, so I've spent more time doing LP shit than doing her.
And on this fucking shit show, too, like, fucking hell, that's a... You're gonna have to make up for that later.
She's used to it by now. She
being abandoned for your fucking friends on fucking podcasts. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the feds that pretend to be libertarians on Clubhouse.
You call me a fucking shady ass grifter. What the fuck? On that was the greatest plug ever, but also I've never been called that before, and I have to applaud you. That was a great plug.
When did I call you a grifter?
Well, on your show last night, the news broadcast, you were like, oh, I'm going on the Dissident in Chief podcast. He's a good guy, but he's some fucking shifty ass grifter, but he's cool. I'm going to do that shit whenever this episode drops.
So, can we discuss something? We didn't talk about this beforehand, but I want to talk about it. So,
absolutely.
Robert Spina, who is out in California.
Oh, I know Robert. Yeah.
I fucking rail this dude every time I get a chance. Like, emotionally rail him. Like, I fuck him.
Railing him as bad as you're emotionally railing him.
I almost feel bad because people have come up to me like, dude, he's trying to impress you and you being a dick. And I'm like, that's who I am. So he went out and finally got permission from Daddy State and Daddy Government to get a handgun in California, which is a huge process. It's a huge deal to get it.
And he's out in California, it's not right? Easy.
Yes, sir. He's out in California. It's a huge thing to do. It's not easy. It's not like where I'm at, where you walk into a store, hand them a fucking stack of cash, and you walk out with a gun. And he was telling me that all this information, we're in a big room with a bunch of people on Clubhouse. And I blew it off. Like, basically, I just started talking shit about California gun laws and how he's a cuck for living there. And you could hear his fucking, like, it crushed his soul because he was like, he waited until I jumped into that room and he was so excited to tell me about it. And I was a complete dick about it. and then, so it seems like there's this recurring theme that I only shit on him when he's done this huge thing that he should be proud of. And to be fair, getting a gun in California is something you should be proud of.
It is
of
a big fucking deal because of how fucking like awful their gun laws are. It's such a pain in the ass that most people don't even try. And he's out there at least fucking going through the whole process and shit. And that's a pain in the ass. You got to pay a bunch for your fucking certs. You got to pay extra for the gun. Mm-hmm. The taxes are higher. It's a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Robert though. And it is definitely hilarious when he is like, by now everyone knows I'm on Clubhouse pretty often and I'm in rooms with Robert pretty frequently. And dude is cool as fuck. And he has like solid principles and is going on these long rants, but then it's interrupted because he has a sick dog that just falls over. And then he's over here.
Oh, fuck. My dog fell
literally
over.
In the middle of a fucking rant about qualified immunity. And he's like going passionate as fuck for like 4 straight minutes. And I'm over here like, yes, queen. Yes. And then he's over. And then he's like, oh, fuck. My dog fell over. And then unmutes. Comes back like 10 seconds later. Fucking goes back into it. No, like he didn't do anything. Like nothing happened. I've never seen anything like it.
So where I was going with that story and the reason I brought it up is because of the grifter thing. So he did this big, he took the initiative and started an affiliate in his county, which is great. I always support that. It's a lot of work. It's a bunch of headache. I think it's bullshit, but it's a lot of headache. And he had this event and it was on his birthday and he talked and I know who runs the affiliate. And I know that it's him. And from the official county affiliate, he talks about how their chair birthday and then goes into all this other stuff. I only read the first line. Look, I'll be fair. Spike Cohen could post a 7-page dissertation on Facebook. I'm reading the first 6 lines and I'm out.
Yes.
That's just how little I care about a lot of the like internal communications. Because I know most of all of it, but I went on the post.
You getting them beer burps already? And, come on, man! It's only 30 minutes in. Let's fucking go.
So, to be fair, he wrote. So I went back later and read the whole thing, whatever. Because I think I originally read it on my phone. When I sit down at the computer, I read through the whole thing. He wrote a really great thing. It was like 4 fucking paragraphs, really well done. It's communicated very well. And then I made a comment that I said, wow, the county chair wrote his own article about how it's his birthday. What a fucking grifter. And I seen him on Clubhouse a couple days later and he says, and like he was telling me that it hit him in such a way that he felt bad about posting it. He thought about taking the post down.
From a fucking troll. Oh my god, I love it.
But it was so funny because I was not like I was hoping he was just gonna blow it off. But he read it and he knew that I was right. Cause the funny thing is 90% of my trolls are fairly spot on, but they're done in such a way that I'm trying to be funny. And he felt so fucking bad about it. He thought about taking the post down. And he was like, fuck, he's right. Because he originally said he's just being a dick. And then he said he thought about it. He's like, fuck, that is some grifty shit. I'm talking about my own birthday in the third person. Fuck.
Oh, my God. Love you, Robert. Just to let you know, we're talking shit, but we love you, okay? It's fine.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He does a lot of work, and he tries really hard, and I shit all over him. And I'm going to have to stop doing it because I don't want to discourage him from doing what he does. He does a lot of good work. It takes... So I'll say this. I'm a regional chair in LPTN, and I'm in a region that's very underdeveloped. I'm pretty much the only regional chair who's gave a shit. It takes a lot of work, and he's doing a county from scratch in one of the worst states in the country.
One of the worst areas of the worst state. He's in Northern California, right near San Francisco, and he's like going to protests every weekend. It seems like fucking representing LP in basically behind enemy lines with basically guaranteed opposition everywhere he goes. Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, like I'll say this. Robert is an amazing dude, and I don't give him credit to his face, but I don't give anyone credit to their face because fuck him.
Exactly. Damn, this Jameson is hitting nice. I'll tell you what.
Grab me another beer. I got to catch up.
I'm about what? A glass and a half in? Let's go.
That's it? Jeez.
I don't drink as much as when I used to live with like servers and restaurant people when I was essentially a bona fide alcoholic and they were full blown like alcoholics. And oh yeah, like I don't drink nearly as much as I used to, but I'm having fun. Oh shit, excuse me. I wonder if I'm gonna leave that in. I bet you I do.
So I did want to talk about something, and we had agreed we'd talk about this, and I'm super excited to talk about it. Oh,
we definitely discussed this earlier, and yes, I actually could read the story for you that it comes from Communist News Network, but this one is a doozy. It's that fucking bow and arrow attack in Norway that by the time this comes out is gonna be probably to the fucking moon. But I'll do a quick little like summary because like it's quite something. Like it was a bona fide like fucking bow and arrow attack and like and all that. So basically five people were killed and two were injured in a Norwegian town of Kongsberg, which is a little bit outside of Oslo, Norway, and
Kongsberg.
See, you may have to like do this because you used to fucking live out there for a little bit. So
let me see here. I'll pull it up. Bow attack Norway.
So how do you say like Ovind Os? I'm assuming that's an O with a line through it. Does that mean it's O or is it like oh or something like that?
I'm looking at a different article than you. I'm looking at the Rudy's one. Do I need to go see anyone?
I'm looking at the one where it's the police chief of the county seat, Drammen, I think. And then his name's Ovind, I think. Ovind.
Yeah. It's a Ovind. Ovindas. In English, that does not translate well.
Right. I'm about to say, like, we're an English podcast, and then the people who are drunk listening to podcasts are like, what the fuck language are you speaking?
Yeah. So Norway is actually a really interesting country because they have a small hunting culture. So when you get outside the major cities, just like the United States, you get into this more survivalist culture. Hell is actually a place in Norway. So there's actually Hell, H-E-L-L, Norway. It's a very northern city in Norway. It's frozen over all the time. So Hell is, in fact, frozen over. Boom. I lived there for about 2 years before we moved back to the States. It was our last rotation with the State Department. I was a kid. My stepmother was a which she was employed by the State Department. And Norway was our last rotation. And the month that we returned to the United States was actually the same month they had that giant mass shooting at that political camp. Do you remember
that? Oh, dude, it was like, what, 10 years ago? It was like, it was basically like young conservatives camp. And like some dude just went out there, or young liberals most likely, but it was a conservative. It was some like extremist that went out there and shot like what, killed like 70 something people, mostly kids.
So conservative and liberal in Europe has a very different connotation than what it does in the United States. But yeah, it was a political camp for, it was a conservative camp. It was like liberal conservative camp or whatever. The Norwegian Liberal Conservative Society camp or whatever. So it's a political camp where they teach kids about politics, and they, you know, these are kids that are going to grow up. So in Europe, you know at a very young age what you're going to go into. In the United States, you don't have to worry about that. You can do different things. In Europe, you're kind of bred into certain cultures and you go in that field. This is one of those camps where they teach them about politics because they're expected from that point on to be in politics in Norway. So this guy went there in order, he was like, and they called him an extremist, but he was basically looking to change policy in Norway. Nobody would listen to him. Because in Norway, the max penalty you can get for a crime is 25 years. Murder is only punishable by 25 years. And it's a very cush 25 years. You get like a computer in your cell. You get a cell by yourself. You get your own personal shower. It's a very cush lifestyle. But he was looking to get life sentences for murderers. And everybody's like, no, there's no need for it. We don't have that problem, blah, 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 blah. Murder is still a thing in Norway. It's not like it's a uniquely American thing. So he went to this camp armed with legally bought firearms and murdered a bunch of kids. I think it was like 36 kids.
It was some crazy amount. Massive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even then, I'll give the Norwegians this credit. They did not bow to the whims of this guy. They said, no, this is what this guy wanted. We're not changing the legislation because of this guy. They gave him 25 years.
Yeah. And he wanted to be the first dude to get a life sentence. And they're like, no, we're not giving you that. You're getting just like everyone else because it's our legal system and it's our principled legal system.
So I'll give them that. I'll give them that they're principled. That's about all I'll give them. But they're a very anti-gun society. They don't believe in firearm ownership for self-defense. They don't believe in all these things. They're very homogenous, partly because the Germans had a really strong foothold in Scandinavia, even prior to the end, or even prior to the downfall of Germany at the end of World War II. There were still Germans or German Nazi officials in Scandinavia. So like places like Denmark and Norway and Sweden, they were still there for years afterwards until the Allies finally moved in and said, okay, you got to go. But so my understanding from the story is that this guy basically went on a killing spree with a bow and arrow. And I think this is a good time to push for common sense bow control. I think we need universal background checks on bows because they're assault weapons. We need to ban assault bows, high capacity quivers, and you know
those dangerous looking arrows, those assault arrows. No one needs broadheads on arrows. You just need straight points, okay? No one needs hollow point arrows.
Hollow point arrows,
or whatever the fuck they're called. I'm mixing it up. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know. Common sense bow control, which is probably, which by the time this drops, we're going to find out this dude was like some master archer or something. Because on the real, like as terrible as this fucker is, five people with two injured, at least for as far as today is gone. That's takes some skill to be. Because if you ever shot a bow, you can't just pick it up and fire it, like unless it's a crossbow. But that's a Do we count those? Count those as firearms or bow and arrow? Like, what are those?
They don't classify as firearms because there's no gunpowder. But I think the Norwegian National Police have an APB out for the Green Arrow.
Oh, we're going to get canceled when this comes out. Let's fucking go.
Robin Hood, where were you the night of the 13th or the 12th? That would be the 12th. I was in Nottingham, sir. Well, apparently you're in fucking Nottingham, Norway, you piece of shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
No, I don't think Jesus knew how to use an arrow.
No, that asshole was fucking only good with, like, healing people and getting fucking railed or nailed or whatever the fuck. That's all he was good for. Oh, yeah.
So I'll say this. I am a libertarian Christian. There's not many of us.
After talking about Jesus getting railed, very Christian of you. Very nice.
I didn't say that. You said that, so you can suck my asshole.
How very Christian of you. That's very priestly of you.
But think about it. Jesus would have been the best libertarian. Like, you show up to a convention and all of a sudden there's like pallets of water, and now it's like, hey, pallets of wine. Like, fuck yeah, Jesus.
Hell yeah, that's some good shit. I'm not saying Jesus wasn't at least a little based. Like, he yeeted tax collectors, for God's sakes. Like, dude's a fucking G. Like, I don't care what the hell they say, the rest of the shit, all that.
Think about it. Jesus was the most libertarian of libertarians, right? He turned water into wine. He's like, why would we drink water when we can have a good buzz? He yeeted tax collectors out of buildings. He went into a synagogue and flipped over tables and cast people out because they were being corrupt. Jesus hated government. The Bible repeatedly talks about how it hates government. Jesus was a libertarian.
There is that one quote, Caesar, leave what is Caesar's, Caesar's, and what is God's, God, or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm talking about. What about that one? Seems a little statist, just a bit.
Yeah, because do you think, so here's I'll rephrase it for modern day. Give the fiat back to the government. Keep your crypto.
So you're saying crypto is Christianity? Love it. Most based.
What I'm saying is that back then, the Caesar's face was on the currency. But it means nothing when it all comes tumbling down. So fiat is what's Caesar's. Ours is crypto. Ooh.
Now that is a take. Fiat is Jesus. I love it. Also, it's raining. I was wondering
what? No, hold on. You said fiat is Jesus.
No, crypto is Jesus. Fiat is. If I'm gonna have a bad take, it's gonna at least be politically correct. Okay. Fiat is Jesus. Not fiat. God, I'm drunk. Fuck off. All right.
I've got Will and I were actually having a discussion earlier today about how old the show is. And he's like, yeah, man, it's like 6 months old. I'm like, I did it a little bit before you showed up. So, yeah, you've been around for 6 months. I did it longer. I've been drunk for almost every single episode of the show. So I've got a lot of experience being drunk or intoxicated or slightly buzzed or whatever and talking to people.
Mm.
I would challenge Spike Cohen to do the same.
We need Spike to drink and do a show.
I won't push that on him because the dude beat an addiction and I don't want to give him a new one. And I applaud him on that. But I will say, there is a certain handicap that comes with being intoxicated and also discussing policy in a somewhat decent manner.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure most people are not coming to this for scholarly advice. At least if you are, you might be a degenerate, which they're my people. I love my degenerates. the people that do listen, but fucking hell, like, this is why our country is going to hell. Fucking people like me talking about politics on a podcast. Ah.
So I'll say this. I've heard you lay down some good dick on some policy. You shouldn't play yourself down like that. But I will say, you do have an advantage over me, a very strong advantage.
And what's that advantage, Bootleg? You're 6 foot six. I'm 6 foot six. You, to be fair, that's where the bootleg thing comes from. He fucking has the Bigfoot logo. If you haven't seen his podcast before, we're both Bigfoots, all that good shit. But again, what's the advantage?
You don't sound like a hillbilly.
Well, I can sound like one real quick if you really need to.
Yes, but when you speak normally, you don't sound like a hillbilly. So that's a key takeaway, right? So I'm gonna do a little social experiment for your listeners. I'm gonna have you say a phrase right after me, and people can make the assumption for themselves which one sounds more racist. So I'm going to say, the thing about black people is, and then you're going to say that same phrase, and we'll see which one sounds more racist.
Well, the thing about black people is
the difference in the two. If for most people, it's going to be Bootleg sounds like he's about to say the most racist shit he's ever heard. Bootleg's
headed off to a fucking lynching. Like, we already know that.
And then Dissident in Chief sounds like he's about to drop some information about criminal justice reform. I sound like I'm about to drop some information about the best way to kill black people. And that's my whole problem.
You've been talking to Brian Lambert too much, that fucking city asshole. He's like, well, Southern sounds fucking retarded. Like, well, yeah, it's because you're from fucking Chicago, you motherfucker. You already know. Again, Brian Lambert, cool motherfucker. The most Chicago person of all time. I'm going to say it.
The most Chicago of Chicago.
Cool motherfucker, but goddamn, he likes to cuss as much as we do. But he has that fucking, like, oh my God, these motherfuckers. That kind of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it actually wasn't him. What? I watched this video on TikTok, and there was these two guys discussing this. They phrased it in a different way, but I was like, no, they're 100% right. And that's why. So a guy that we both know, Sean Hickman, on Clubhouse. I'm not going to give out his handle on there because he's incognito, but he agreed with me that when he first met me on Clubhouse, he thought I was some inbred fucking idiot. Like he said, I thought you were some fucking retarded fuckhead. And I was like, he said, I was wondering where the fuck they picked you up at. And then he said he hopped into another room where it's more serious discussion. And he was like, God damn. That's a big fucking spider. Holy shit.
Oh, fuck. Bootleg has a fucking spider problem. Oh, no. Are you scared of spiders, or are you just going to take care of it like a man?
Hold on. We have wolf spiders, and they're big, and my wife hates them. It's dead, though. Anyways.
Murder has happened on my podcast for the first time. I love it.
I see, dude, this fucking thing is the size of a quarter. Like, the body of it's the size of a quarter.
That is a big spider.
Yeah. So I noticed that motherfucker running. I said, ooh, we gotta get rid of this. Anyways, but he's basically said that I sounded like an idiot. And then I went to another room and he followed me in there, and there was a very serious discussion going on, and I was throwing out fact after fact after fact. He said it was two different people. He said, you still sound like a hillbilly, but you sounded like a smart hillbilly. And that's the problem.
Smart hillbilly. Well,
that's the thing that the North hates the most.
What, smartness or hillbillies?
smart hillbillies, because we can disappear into the mountains and survive, but then we're smart enough to have discussions.
Yeah, see, they disappear into a Whole Foods and then that's about it.
Or a Trader Joe's.
Oh, even more pretentious. Jesus. Have you ever been to a Trader Joe's, by the way? It's so goddamn pretentious. And you've probably been to a Whole Foods because you've heard about it forever. That's the bougie place. No, Trader Joe's, they got them. They got it fucking beaten bougie. Everything's like $5 more than it fucking needs to be. It kind of smells like fucking wood when you go in there. Like, it's weird.
So the funny thing about Trader Joe's is that, like, they're so woke, they're super fucking racist. They basically have aisles designated. Like, if you're black, only go to this aisle. If you're Hispanic, only go to this aisle. If you're Asian, you're only allowed to go to this aisle. If you're white, go to the rest of the store. Or go to all the aisles if you're white. And that's the insane fucking thing about it. It's like, wokeism is on the racism spectrum. Like the more woke you get, the more racist you get. The closer
you get to being racist, yeah.
No, like, wokeism is racism. It's just, like, fancy.
Bougie, right? Bougie racism. I like it.
There you go. Did you see that article? I think I shared it on Facebook about Washington State University is going to have black only dorms.
Oh, they're doing segregation. Bold move, Cotton. Are they literally going to like make them do cotton fields now? Like, what's going on in Washington? you going to go all in? Like, let's go, bro. Put out some cotton fields, watermelon patches. Like, are we just going to go all in on the fucking, like, racism that is wokeism? Like, are we going to do that?
Yeah, that's the funny thing, though, isn't it? I mean, like, they're like, oh, black people are so important. We need to make sure that they stay far away from the white people.
Yeah, my grandpa that believed in actual segregation would agree with them. He's been dead since like the 70s, but, you know, he was old as fuck and also kind of racist. But, you know, it's fun.
He could have ran as a Democrat. I mean, Joe Biden
A Democrat back in the his whole life.
Well, yeah, that is true. Yeah, that would have made sense. I mean, Joe Biden did say
black people are as poor people are as black people are
just as smart as white people.
Poor That's people what he are said. Just as smart as white people. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fun times.
Like, hey, that's not racist at all. That's super woke, bro.
I'm going to do a hard transition into speaking of poor decisions and poor phrasings. I've heard some stories about because you were in the military. Mm-hmm. And you were in the army, I don't know, like army, whatever, I think that sounds right. You were deployed to overseas in Kandahar, and I've heard some wild stories, and there was one in particular that I've heard in small company that I have no problem. If you want to tell it, then go for it. But it's the greatest story. It may be the funniest story that I've ever heard, at least in the past year or two.
You mean tell both the stories?
Was it the one about is the other one the goat?
The goat. Dude,
yes, I want though. Yes, both.
So I'll tell both stories.
Now that's going to be a hell of a way to end the podcast. You do not want to fucking miss this.
So I was a MP in Kandahar. I was attached to an infantry battalion. And you get some strange calls as an MP. When you're stateside, you get like the drunk and disorderly, you get the domestic abuse, whatever. Downplay domestic abuse. I just usually assume when I downplay it, I just usually assume that it was a mother's demand action. You know, sometimes domestic abuse is called for.
Oh no. It's only gonna get better.
Mom's demand action. That's what it is. Yeah, mom's demand action. If my wife came out and said that she was joining that, she would get her ass beat. But she carries just as almost as many guns as me, so we're good.
Hey-o.
But So I'll start with the goat story. So we are out on patrol and we're on the convoy and we get a call like, hey, we need y'all to go check something out. Okay. And they give us a code that we don't recognize. My sergeant's looking through the book. He's like, this doesn't make sense. So we fucking just head out to the location that they tell us to go to. We get out there and the TERP is talking to the locals. They're like, no, you need to go over there to that field. We're like, what the fuck? This is super sketch. Like, basically assuming we're going to walk into a fucking minefield from the Soviets. We get out there and we basically crest over this hill and we see a fucking post out in the middle of this field. And on that post, tied to this post is a goat. And around the goat's neck and back legs, this goat's tied to this post. And behind this goat is a local farmer. And this dude is wearing this thing out. The sound that this goat made, I will never forget. And the smell that came off of this was fucking horrendous. I'm watching the dissident in chief fucking die laughing on the other screen.
I'm sorry, I'm having to mute through this, but like, just so the story gets out, but holy fuck. Okay, hang on.
So we walk up to this guy and he's still fucking going at it. He's looking at us, just smiling and waving like, hey man, what's up? And I think he may have been a little fucked in the head.
But no way.
We walk. Yeah. Well, So we walk up and the TERP's like telling him like, look, you got to stop. They're going to fucking shoot the goat. And all said and done, we finally pull this guy off this fucking goat. The fucking goat's like all wore out. It's like fucking bleeding and shit. It's fucking bad. And we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do because we've heard the stories and we've seen the footage. Like this shit does, it's not uncommon. Like goat fucker is not a derogatory term because we just made it up. It happens a lot that the DOD has like 20 something terabytes of fucking goat fucking porn. Like they've got tons of footage of ISIS and Taliban fighters and Al-Qaeda fighters fucking goats and other farm animals. And we're like, what the fuck do we do with this guy? Like, what do we do? Like they're going to keep calling if we just let him fuck this goat. So we all turn and look at the LT, and the LT is like, y'all figure this shit out. I'm going back to the V, which is the Humvee. And so we turn and look at the first sergeant, and he's like, hey, we just fucking shoot the goat, I guess. And I was like, why the fuck are we shooting the goat? That's the rape victim. Why don't we shoot the dude and let the goat go? And it's the most awkward experience I would ever have in my life.
I mean, there's and awkward, then, and then there's going up on someone who's been plowing a goat for who knows how long, days perhaps.
It was days because they said the dude had been out there for a couple of days fucking that thing. Like he would like go to sleep, like eat, go to sleep, and then wake up and go back to fucking the goat. Dude has a serious case of blue balls. So this goes into our next story, which is now one of the top 10 most awkward experiences I've ever had with a human being.
Oh, so we're talking about human beings and not goats this time. That's good.
Well, like I've not been around many goats. That was like, we've been around goats, but not when someone's fucking them.
I'm pretty sure most people haven't. Fair enough.
So we're rotating out of Kandahar. And when you rotate out, you look to get rid of all the shit that you don't want to bring back with you, like porn, nudie mags, shit like that, shit you don't want to get caught with back stateside with your family, girlfriend, wife, whatever. So we're lined up. We're hurry up and waiting. and we see this fucking private running around with like a chicken with his head cut off. And we're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, I gotta get rid of this. And he's got a fucking shoebox. He's running around. And so he comes back like the third or fourth time. And like, we grab him. We're like, stop. What the fuck are you doing? It's like, all right, I gotta get rid of this. And we fucking take the shoebox from him. And we open up the shoebox. And it's his pocket pussy. And it's not like a regular pocket pussy. Like, you know, like they're like latex, rubber, whatever the fuck they're made out of. But this thing is wore out. This thing looks like it's been to the fucking ringer. Like, for half a second, I thought this dude had like a fucking 12-inch long dick that was like 6 inches wide. That's how wore out this thing looked. And we start questioning him because we're fucking in peace. We're like, we've got to get to the bottom of this. Like, I need to know the story. He was looking to sell it. That's not even the worst part. He bought it used from a guy who bought it used, from a guy who bought it used, from a guy who bought it used. So I guarantee you, we've pulled out of Kandahar for a couple months now, and I guarantee you there's some fucking Taliban fighter that's found this thing, and it still lives on in Kandahar. So this pocket pussy is... probably been there the entire length of the Afghan war. It is still living on the Kandahar. So you will never lose respect for someone like when you find out that they spent $20 to buy a pocket pussy when it could they used when they could have bought a brand new one for like $25 and had it shipped via Amazon.
Bad enough to have a like it. Okay, pocket pussy. Okay, fine. It's the whole fact that it's just not only used, but very well.
It's not even second hand.
Like fucking like seventh hand. Like literally it's been through like seven dicks. God knows how many times each person has masturbated with that thing. It's the more you think about this, the more disturbing it gets. What if some guy had like a fucking, he caught something because a degenerate that's fucking like a fifth used fucking pocket pussy probably doesn't have very much compunction about putting his dick in anything else. Like, let's be real.
Did you ever watch that show, Blue Mountain State?
Oh, no. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Go for it.
Do you remember when everyone got chlamydia because they all shared that same pocket pussy because no one cleaned it? That's when he was talking about it, that scene just popped through my head. That entire episode just went through my mind.
Oh my God. I'm just trying to wrap my head because again, I've heard this story before. I'm still like wondering, like you're dealing with degenerates who are like fucking a seventh hand, like pocket pussy. What else are they putting their dick in? Because obviously they don't give two fucks as long as it feels good.
Well, you got to think about it. Like we are 18 year olds with machine guns in a foreign nation. And the females that are there, if you get caught fucking them, you get UCMJ'd. So, you don't have a whole lot of options. I can tell you this story too. That's one I've not told before.
Pamela Anderson. Like, I mean, I figure it's mostly
Pamela.
I figure that's mostly what's happening is just Pamela Anderson.
So it's about 02:36. I'm supposed to be on a rotation and I'm in a portage on taking a shit and the mortar alarm goes off. I hear fucking explosions. I got my dick in my hand. There's shit coming out of my ass. To this day. So what's funny is I was sitting there thinking, actually, I wasn't shitting. I was just beating off. Actually, that's the funny thing. So if you can beat off in 110 degree port-a-john, you can beat off anywhere. I remember thinking to myself, like, dick in one hand, radio in the other, thinking, you know what? If this is my way to go, I'm fine with that. At least I'll enjoy myself on the way out. I never stopped. I just kept going. I was like, fuck it. I hope that mortar fucking lands right between my legs, blows me to fucking kingdom come. And someone will find me in about 6 months with my dick in my hand.
Like the fucking guy from Pompeii who fucking was found beaten off and that he got like masherized and he's like fucking got his dick in his hand. And I'm like, bro, same. I feel that.
Oh shit, the volcano's blowing up. Fucking perfect this shit now.
Oh, and then of course it's like a Mozart painting, like bootleg, like half your body's in one place, the bottom half is gonna be your hand still attached to your dick. And people are gonna be like, that guy died, enjoying life. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And speaking of enjoying life, it has been a great fucking hour that we've had on this podcast. Not going to lie. I've had fun. What about you?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's I get to let loose on everybody else's shows because nobody holds me personally responsible for things I say on other people's shows.
Well, of course. And then, well, I'm trying to figure out like, well, nah, I think I've figured out what you're talking about. It's basically you having fun. You have shows where you're serious, where you're like just delivering news and not like fucking bullshit CNN news, like actual fucking like shit that's actually relevant and useful to like anyone that's not a belligerent idiot zombie. And then you have fun shows where you're like talking with veterans, you're talking with candidates and all kinds of shit. That's the show, I think.
Did you watch Tuesday's show?
Yeah, you were talking all about it was like Southwest and a couple other things. I know you definitely brought up Southwest a lot.
Yeah, the Southwest thing I focus on because I think more Americans should rebel. Embrace your heritage, be rebellious, tell the state to go fuck itself, quit your job if you need to. Shameless plug at the end of the show.
Always. I was gonna offer the plug, but here you go. It's a shameless butt plug. Shameless butt plug. Here you go.
It is 100% shameless. Go check out Not a Real Libertarian on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. We do content Mondays through Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Freedom Time, for the non-commies out there. And then you can calculate your time based upon whatever bullshit time zone you're in. Because if you're not Eastern, you're a fuckface. Check us out. We put out good content every week. We've got a single female that's dedicated to making memes. The meme whore. That's what she requested to be called. If you want to know any more about our shows, that's all you need to know.
Hell yeah, brother. I appreciate you coming on. And I'm glad that I know you personally, and your activism like outside of your show is fucking awesome. And like, I will say before we get done with the plug, what do you have coming up when it comes to the show stuff? Do you have any cool interviews planned or any cool events that you're scheduled to do?
So someone who is organized and knows anything about their own life would have told you right off the bat. But I do appreciate you having me on tonight. It's been a lot of fun. You know, this kind of shit is a lot of fun. So tomorrow night, which will be October the 14th, which will be before the show comes out, we got Jacob Vandenplas. And then next week, which will be the week of the 18th, so Monday the 18th, we've got, you know, shows 4 days a week. But what's different about this week is I'll be in Oklahoma on the 21st, which will be the Thursday night show. Will and I will be doing a show together. And we might have some other people showing up on the show. You and
Will are going to be together in the same room at the same time doing your same show? Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'll be in Oklahoma City for the Natalie Bruno event, which she has asked me to MC the Saturday night dinner for her official campaign launch. And what's really bad about that is that it feels like an abortion because I'm killing the campaign before it even begins.
Life will find a way. Bootleg. Life will find a way.
Yeah, I fly to Dallas and then I fly to OKC. From so I start in Nashville, go to Dallas, go to Oklahoma City, and if you're in the Oklahoma City area, come by, hang out, and you know, we'll drink some beers and drink some booze, and we'll have a good time. But yeah, you know, we'll have the regularly scheduled broadcasting Monday through Thursday, and Thursday I will be on Will's casting couch, the black leather couch.
Much appreciated, and don't get cum on the couch, please. We need young Will to not, don't take his virginity too early. It's okay.
Well, if you notice him walking weird, I can't help that.
Much appreciated, brother. I'm going to have to end this, but it has been fun, and you have a, you have yourself. I've been drinking. Fuck off. Have a great evening, good sir.